1 Corinthians chapter 12 for several weeks now. I've been dealing with the 21 gifts of the Spirit, and I will say this as earnestly as I know how to say it. This is the most difficult sermon to preach in the series, what I'm going to share with you today. Because a lot of things, while individuals may get upset when you teach certain things from the Word of God, it's one thing to deal with people getting upset, but when you're dealing with a gift that affects devils and Satan himself, when they get upset, it's entirely different. Candy asked me this morning before we left the house, said, "What are you preaching on today?" And if you only knew what's happened at our house just this morning, you'd understand why she said that. Because the devil wants every one of us to think that he is an imaginary creature, or a figment of the imagination, or a creature of mythology, and that he doesn't really exist. But there are two parallel kingdoms that's operating. There's the Spirit of God and those that know the Lord, the Christians that understand the angels and all of the things attached with the Spirit of God. And not only is there that kingdom that's operating through the kingdom of God, but there is a kingdom of evil with its head, Satan, and evil spirits that are there as well. And recently, my wife and I were having a meal at a local restaurant, and a preacher came up to us, spoke for some time about a person and some things they were going through. And I said, "What do you think the problem is?" And just that quick, he said, "I tell you what the problem is. Christians don't believe in devils anymore. That's the problem." And you see, they've done their job well. The devil is the only creature of power that spends his entire time trying to convince us he doesn't exist. But that's his goal. But yet he does exist. And not only him, but we know there are unclean spirits, evil spirits that's mentioned in the Bible. The Lord gave the disciples authority in his name to cast out devils. Quiet. See how quiet it gets when you just start talking about it. But yet, we need to understand their operation. And God has given us not only the power of His Word and the power of His Spirit and the power of the blood of Christ and the power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ, but He's given the church, certain people in the church of the living God, a wonderful gift. And that's the gift that I'm looking at today. Let's look, if you will, together in verse 10. 1 Corinthians 12:10. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Notice it's in the plural. Discerning of spirits. Now, all Christians have some ability of discernment. There are some things that God, on certain occasions, will allow you very readily to discern, and you can tell very quickly that it's of the devil. You can tell that God's not in it. You just discern it. Have you ever walked in somewhere before and something just seemed to overcome you as though you're in the very presence of evil, and it's like the Holy Spirit says to you, "Get out of here"? We've all had that, and it may not be just a particular location. There's been times I've been walking down the street of a large city before and suddenly just get overwhelmed with the presence of God to say, "You know what you need to do is turn on this block and go another way." God directs us sometimes, I believe, till we're not in that influence. Some of you have been in situations where you know that evil exists and you know the power and forces of evil. We have the privilege here throughout the next month. The Christmas cave will be going on. And from what I understand, when Tom's family bought that and they went out, there was a lot of things that was there, evidence of things, where people had actually been involved in things demonic, things that were of the devil. Now that's turned around, but that didn't just happen. Someone had to know how to pray, to utilize something and sanctify something for the glory of God that the devil had control of. See, he doesn't just give up quickly. Now, this sermon, I believe, will help you If you'll listen closely to the scriptures that I'm going to share, I believe it will help you to understand why, even though we all have at times the ability to discern certain things, there's also that gift that God gives to certain people in the church to discern spirits, to be a blessing to us when we may be unaware of the attack that's coming against us because of the presence of evil that's there. What is the explanation of this gift? Well, I believe that it is the God-given supernatural gift to look at a person and tell if that person is A, speaking by the Spirit of God, or B, if they're speaking of their own spirit and their own desire, or if they're under the possession, or if they're being oppressed by an evil spirit in their actions or in their sayings. So it gives you that ability. Sometimes we have that at times where that we listen to something and you don't even know the verse or the scripture, but something inside of you says, that's not right. What they said just scripturally, that's not right. Because the Lord helps all of us. But then there are those that God gives this gift to be able to discern that even before that it happens. And they have that ability to approach that situation with this God-given gift to be able to overcome that, to discern what is there and to understand, listen, you're doing that of yourself. There's people that they're good people and they mean well. But when they do certain things, even in the name of the Lord, they're doing it of themselves. They're doing it of their own human desire. Their own human spirit is leading them. God's not leading them. It's evident that the Lord's not there. We all have that discernment at times. But then to have the gift of discernment not only shows that, but shows what to do with that. It'll determine, first of all, the message of God. If the message is from God or not, a person with this gift realizes that. It's the smallest of things that's there. Seems so insignificant, but yet with this gift, suddenly it's like a magnifying glass that's put on that to say, hey, listen, this is going to create problems. And the devil doesn't want you to know that he's the messenger. He wants you to think all the time that God's behind it, even when he's behind it. And it's easy to get turned around and think you're correct, 100% correct. For example, the Pharisees. They came and listened to the message that Jesus spoke. And the Pharisees, now they didn't have this gift, and I can prove it to you. They looked at Jesus and said, you're speaking by the prince of devils, Beelzebub himself, saying Satan is the one that's leading. That's how we know that they weren't right with God. They would have recognized that. In fact, we know the teaching from 1 John 4, when you go home and read it, that if a spirit cannot confess Jesus, then definitely that's a false spirit. So they're saying, no, you're not of God because your message is different than our message. The truth of the matter is, they were the ones that were not of God. Jesus was sent by God, God's only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. In Acts 17, we read where Paul went to Berea to preach. And when he went to Berea, the Bible teaches us, if you'll read Acts 17, when he got there, the believers at Berea started studying the scriptures to discern whether he was speaking by God or not. Now, why would they do that? Because of Paul's past. Paul had come against the church, had persecuted the church. Now suddenly he's speaking about God. How can someone try to destroy the church one day and speak about God the next day? Well, they had to discern that. And people with that gift of discernment was able to say, no, Paul's of God. Paul's preaching the Word of God. We've searched the Scripture and the evidence is there. It's supported by the Word of God because it's the message of God. We know also that this gift distinguishes outward appearances from inward realities. Everybody that puts a Bible under their arm is not speaking by the Spirit of God. Somebody can come to you and they look like a Christian, the way you think that a Christian should look, and they have an appearance before others that they look good, and they may even be great. It would really be a benefit to each one of you to go home today and read Acts chapter 8 again. There was a man named Simon who, before coming into the area that he was in and professing Christianity, he was a sorcerer. And the Bible said that he took great influence in the church. And this sorcerer, previous sorcerer that had great influence, he became the greatest one. He spent his whole time trying to convince everybody how great he was. And because of his previous power and authority, they all accepted that he was a great one. Well, he watched as the apostles come. And you know what happened? They started laying hands on people. And when Peter laid his hands on an individual, they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. There were signs and there was wonders. And here comes Simon. Simon, with all of his money that he had made from sorcery. Simon takes this money and says, I want the gift of God. Here's some money. I want to buy it. And Peter looked at him and he said, don't you know you can't buy the gift of God? The gift of God is not for sale. There's not enough money to buy the gift of God. It comes from God as a gift. So your money will perish with thee. He said, I know that you look important to these people. I know that to them they look at you and they say, there's somebody that's really right and doing what's right. But I see inside your heart and your heart says, you're not for God, you're for money. And the truth of the matter is, because of that, you're going to perish with your money because you thought you could buy God's gift. We know that Jesus told Peter one day, Peter, now remember, Peter was called as a disciple. And Jesus talked about going to Jerusalem to die. And Peter said, be it not so, Lord. And he started to try to say what he could to prevent Jesus from going to Jerusalem to die. Jesus looked at Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, let me clarify something. He wasn't calling Peter Satan. He was saying, Peter, on the outside, it looks like you're doing something good, but really you're hindering the plan of the Heavenly Father. The will of the Father is that I go to Jerusalem and die for the sins of the world. And by you trying to step between God's will and God's plan and God's purpose, that means you've been influenced. And the influencing voice is Satan himself, because ultimately Satan wants to stop me from dying for the sins of the world. So really, he wasn't speaking just to Peter. He was speaking to the influence of Satan behind Peter. If we're not careful, sometimes we can have good intentions, but that doesn't mean that we're following God's will. We also know the church at Ephesus in Revelation. The Bible said that on the outside, to look at them, they had need of nothing. They had prospered. They had been blessed. They had everything that anybody would want. In the eyes of a lot of people, they'd look at them and say, they've got to be blessed. If they've got all of that, God's got to be with them. But the Bible says when the Lord looked at them, he saw their heart and he said, you've left your first love. See, it looked good, but they'd really left the first love. That's the problem with the modern day church. We have left our first love. We have strayed so far from God. So far from God. And we're getting farther and farther away on the outside because we have a building. Everyone says, well, it's a church. And because they have a Bible, they say it's a church. But the truth of the matter is, God's not concerned with the outward appearance only. He's concerned with our heart. And if we love God, there's certain things that the Lord doesn't have to have us be beat over the head with it. We should want to do it because we love God. That gift helps to distinguish the two. Somebody that is truly committed to the Lord and loves the Lord and does what they want for the love of God, and someone that is deceiving themselves. That we're doing right when really you're not doing right. People with that gift have the ability to see that and know that. Then finally, the gift distinguishes. Hold on now. Distinguishes if a person is possessed by evil spirits, or if it is sickness. Sickness or an evil spirit. Now, never, never confuse what I'm about to say. The vast majority of physical illness, psychological illness, mental illness, the vast majority of problems that people have in those areas are just physical. It's just that. Even the emotional problem, the vast majority is because you have a chemical imbalance, and heaven knows that we shouldn't be confused that we have a chemical imbalance. I mean, in reality, as many drugs as what we all have to take today to keep the cholesterol down and the sugar down and everything else, no wonder our body has changed so much. Say amen if you want to. But that creates a lot of things. It can create physiological change. And the majority of sickness, almost always is based on just that. It's a part of life. We get sick. We know the Lord heals, but we still get sick. We go through things emotionally that it's nothing more than just that. Our body's going through times where we're under stress, we're under pressure. If you're under extreme pressure on your job for an extended period of time, I trust you. Trust me on this. I promise you, it will affect your emotional well-being. If you're in a horrible marriage and you go through it day in and day out, through time, it will have its effect on your emotions. You don't think it'll affect you certain ways? There's some things. I've watched people go through surgeries and extreme sickness and suddenly battle things with their nerves that they'd never battled before. It's nothing more than it being physical. It's physical. Every psychological problem is not a demon. Every physical problem is not anything. We want to see people that's into deliverance. Oh, I'm getting in over my head here. People that's into deliverance, they want to say everything is a spirit. Everything's a spirit. You got a nicotine spirit. That's why you can't quit smoking. No, you got an addiction to nicotine. That's what it is. We don't want to see it, but the reason people don't quit, they're looking for a quick fix. Somebody come, lay hands on them, the evil spirit leave them. If you're saved, you can't be possessed by an evil spirit. It's an impossibility for the Spirit of God to dwell in the temple of your body. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's impossible for the Holy Ghost to live there and also an evil spirit live there as well. A fellow told me one day, years ago, I was much heavier than I am now. I've still got a long way to go. But he told me, he said, your problem is you've got a fat spirit. You know what I said? Lay hands on me. And he did. And I gained 20 pounds. No. It's diet. I mean, it can be physical things too. If any of you have ever had to take a regimen of steroids, it's not uncommon that you'll gain a lot of weight with it. It can be physical, I realize that. But the truth of the matter is, we want a quick fix. And you got to be honest about it. It's diet and exercise. You want to lose weight, you got to eat less and move more. Sorry. I'm speaking from experience. But that's part of it. Everything is not. There's some people that they look at everything and they think that there's an evil spirit behind it. And that's not the case. Do we have that premise? So the majority of the time that's true. But how can you tell if someone has a severe problem physically, emotionally, mentally? How can you tell if it is one of those cases where that they are being affected by an evil spirit? While the majority of the time that's true, there are some cases where it is an evil spirit. Now some of you are looking strange. Stay with me. Turn to Luke 11. Luke chapter 11. Let's turn over there. Luke chapter 11. Let's go to the 14th verse. Luke 11, 14. I could give you a lot of verses, but for time's sake, I'm not going to because I'm about to wrap up on this. I can tell you're thrilled with it. Luke 11, 14. And he was casting out a what?
Devil.
And it what? It was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. Did you get it? The man wasn't dumb. the devil inside of him. The spirit was dumb. It was the spirit that couldn't speak. For when the spirit went out, the man could speak. The man, the reason that he was in the position that he was that the evil spirit had taken control over him. There's no doubt about it. Here was a man that couldn't speak because a spirit was in him that was a dumb spirit. The word dumb meaning inability to speak. He was mute. The spirit was mute. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. Is the word of God just the facts, mister? Who was dumb, the man or the spirit? The spirit. When the spirit went, the man was fine. It's the word of God. But let's look at another passage. Let's go over to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. We'll start with verse 25. Here's a man with a foul spirit, and they've come to Jesus, and they're concerned because they couldn't seem to help him. They were doing everything that they could. The father was a believer. Verse 24, he even cried out. He was crying, tears. I believe, help mine unbelief. He was a man that believed that still had some unbelief. You can be a Christian and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, but still get to situations in your life where that you're struggling with believing, will God get me out of this? Even though I'm saved, will God get me through this sickness, this situation, this trial that I'm in? And verse 25, Mark 9:25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou what? Dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Here's a man again that he has this spirit, deaf and dumb. It's not that the man was sick, it's that the spirit had that characteristic. And they couldn't cast the spirit out. And Jesus discerned that it was a foul spirit and cast the spirit out of the man. And when the spirit left, the man at first was as though he was dead. That's simply because of the power and the force of that evil spirit upon him. It had robbed him physically of his strength. But Jesus rebuked that spirit. The spirit was cast out and the man was restored. We know that self-destructiveness and attempted suicide can be caused by evil spirits. Now stay right here. Can be. Now where do you get that? Well, the demoniac of Gadara. He cut himself with stones. There's another that had a child, all threw himself in the fire, trying to destroy himself, harm himself. Those were evil spirits that Jesus dealt. When Jesus cast the evil spirits out of the demoniac of Gadara, they entered into a herd of swine, they ran over a steep place and drowned themselves. Now, I don't want you to leave this place and say, oh, everyone that is suicidal and everyone that has self-destructive tendencies are possessed by a devil. No. No. The majority of times, no. The vast majority of times, no. Now, do I have your attention? How in the world do you tell the difference, preacher? If you don't have the gift of discernment of spirits, you can't. You can't. The very fact that you don't know just means you ought to pray for healing and you ought to pray for help. And whatever you do, don't step in and tell someone that something's wrong with them, that evil has possessed them when you don't know. The fact you don't know tells me you don't have that gift. Boy, it's quiet right now. If we had a body, we'd have a good funeral, couldn't we? But I watch these people all the time. They want to go in and call everything an evil spirit. And the truth of the matter is, even people that's in sin, the Bible says you know, it's easy to confuse oppression with just temptation. Most people, when they sin, let every man say when he sinned, he's enticed by his own lust and drawn aside. Most of it is just the innate nature of people to do wrong. And the devil knows that, so he sets up the opportunities to create that lust, create that desire to pull you in through temptation into sin. That's not that an evil spirit has possessed you and made you do it or has control over you. That is the innate nature that's inside of you and has been since Adam and Eve sinned. Well, how can you tell if someone has this gift? I'm about to close. Somebody say amen right there. Thank you, Dave. He loves me. He loves me. I read through this week every account that I could find of how Jesus dealt with evil spirits. And I have to, as your pastor, I have to say, even though I've studied it, I was amazed at some of the things that I found when I read it. For example, not one time did Jesus ever tell a person they had an evil spirit. On most occasions, they knew who Jesus was. They cried out to Him. Someone that has the gift of discerning of spirits, you don't go around looking at everybody in their eyes saying, are you possessed or not? Oh, no. The evil spirits, they'll know if you've got that gift or not. And they want away from you as quick as they can get away from you because they know you have that gift and they want to be away from you. Second of all, every time, just about every time when you deal with some of it, the first thing that Jesus would do is He would order them or command them to be silent. Can I read you just a couple more verses before I come to it? Turn back to Mark again, chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Let's go to the 34th verse. Mark chapter 1 and verse 34. Mark chapter 1, 34. And He healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils. Now notice the next phrase. And suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew Him. You can find a repeat of that in Luke 4:41, the same thing. He commanded them not to speak. First thing He would say is, hey, I'm in authority here. You don't have a voice. I'm the one that's going to do the talking. You don't have a voice. He ordered them, when He would meet them, He ordered them not to speak. They had to listen. That's the problem. It works just the opposite. People that's possessed, they listen all the time to the evil spirit. The evil spirit does the talking. The evil spirit does the controlling. The evil spirit does the oppressing. The evil spirit does the influencing. But Jesus said, now, you know who I am, and you're no longer in control. I'm in control. And every demon in hell and the devil himself is subject to the power and authority of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is not limited in His power. He has authority over every demon that will ever cross in life. He counseled us to pray and fast and use faith. I read it to you earlier. He always demanded exit. And not only did He demand exit, He demanded exit without return. He cast them out and told them not to come back. Why? Because if you cast them out and tell them not to come back, they'll be back. Bring seven more with them. Is it the Word of God or not? See, they want to win. Their goal is to win. The other thing, and I found this interesting, I never read anywhere in all of it where He laid hands on a person that was demon-possessed. We think of casting them out. We think of laying hands on them. Now, is it wrong to lay hands on them? No, it's not that it's wrong. I think that Jesus says you're dealing with it the wrong way. You don't handle the spirit. You can't handle your spirit. Your spirit's not tangible. This is not something of the flesh. It's not healing. When there was healing for the body, He'd lay hands on the disciples as they became apostles. They'd lay hands on people because they're praying for their body. It's that contact for the physical healing to come. But when he dealt with spirits, he's dealing in the spiritual realm, the spiritual world. He didn't have to lay hands on them. He never got in a conversation with them. The deepest conversation you have is when he asked their name, Legion, for we are many. He didn't get in a conversation with them. He said, this isn't up for debate. This isn't up for something for you to decide. He said, I'm on the scene, and I didn't come just to be here to let you see me. I've come to take over. And he takes control of it. And through his power, he casts out the evil spirits. Personally, I never read one account where he left somebody half delivered. When he came and he cast out the spirits, he never left them half delivered. Till the next week they were coming back with more. I'm telling you, folks, we live in one of the most wicked generations that has ever lived. In America, I'm referring to. It is a wicked generation. And it's getting worse because no one sees or knows. If there's ever a time that the gift of discerning spirits need to be manifest, it's in this time that we're in. Because someone's going to have to take the authority of God's Word and remind the devil and remind the devils that follow him. You are not in control. This is not your place. You do not have authority over me. You do not have authority over my loved ones. You don't speak to the person to offend the person. That's not what it's all about. This is a spiritual battle, a spiritual warfare that's going on. It is a place where you come with the power and might of God and on the authority of the Word of God and say you have no place here. You are not welcome here. You cannot perform what you want to perform in my home, in my church, on my job, with my family, with my kids. You cannot take control. I know the one that has supreme power and supreme authority. And at the name of Jesus, every devil has to flee, for he has power over all. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, is what Jesus said. It is time for the church to exercise our power and say the devil will not win out. He has no place in our community. We're tired of him trying to control all of society. There is a power that's greater than any power that he could imagine. And when he realizes the Spirit of God is in us and the Word of God is in us, the great things will happen in this country. And we need it. We need it. We need it. Jesus, I thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, there's no name like your name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Don't get yourself at a place where he can oppress you. I got a call the other night, getting ready to go out the door for revival to preach. Someone told me a lie. They told me a lie to feed their addiction. And you know what I told them? I ain't helping you. Hey, you need to spread the word everywhere. I'll do anything for anybody that's trying. I'll do anything for anybody that has a real need. But if you're going to go the devil's way, you're going on the devil's dime. If it's so much fun to serve him, let him board and keep you. So I'm on the phone and I said, oh yeah, is that right? Yeah, they told a big story. I said, well, I need some information here. And by the way, I have contact with law enforcement and we'll find out if it's true or not. Click. I have a pastor friend that he is bombarded in their city with people all the time. That because they're under oppression of devils have taken their city over. I'm just being honest. The devils have taken their city over. And he was praying and fasting, his people praying and fasting. What can we do? It got worse and it got worse and it got worse. And he said it was draining the church. And then you couldn't hardly tell, does someone really need help or do they just need money for their addictions? So God gave him a vision. They started buying gift cards. And they bought these gift cards for food, for gas. If they had to go somewhere, they had the gift cards. And when they called up, they said, "We're happy to help. The only thing of it is, all you have to do is sign your name." "Oh, really? Well, I'll do that." "Well, the gift cards are down at the police station. And all you have to do is go down and sign your name, tell them I sent you, and they'll give you a gift card for that." You know how many gift cards they've given away? None. Now, what's that tell you? They're on target. They've started praying. They've gone through their streets and marched through their streets, not in protest, but in prayer. They never called anybody's name out. You've got to understand, people's not our enemy. The devil is our enemy, and the devil would get every one of us if he could. He'd love to get hold of us, whatever it takes to get hold of us, whatever channel he'd get each one of us. But I've come with good news. We have power through Jesus Christ, and the greatest power that the world has ever known is still in the name of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus. And even the devils believe and tremble when they hear his name and see his presence. We need to get back to Jesus Christ.